May the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing his will. And may he work in us what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory for ever and ever. Amen. Brothers, I urge you to bear with my word of exhortation, for I have written you only a short letter. I want you to know that our brother Timothy has been released. If he arrives soon, I will come with him to see you. Greet all your leaders and all God's people. Those from Italy send you their greetings. Grace be with you all.
We're bringing our series in Hebrews to a close this week. We've had about 5 weeks reading through Hebrews 12 and 13, picking up from where you'd left off last year, I believe. And these are chapters that, I don't know if you noticed, are full of instruction. Full of instruction for how we should live as Christians. We've been instructed to struggle against sin, to endure hardship, to submit ourselves to God, to strengthen ourselves, to make every effort to live at peace with all, to not be bitter or sexually immoral, to not forfeit the eternal for the temporary, to not listen to prophecy and warning, to be thankful and worship with awe, to keep loving one another, to be hospitable, to remember those in prison and those who are oppressed, to honor marriage, to not love money, to respect our leaders, to not be deceived by strange teachings, to continually praise God with our lips and with our doing good and sharing, to obey our leaders and submit to authority, and to pray. Whew. Wow. Listen, that's just a couple of chapters. But if you're like me, you'll feel exhausted thinking about all that you're being asked to do. And that is the right response. We should feel overwhelmed. We should feel incapable and unable to meet all these instructions. But the prayer in chapter 13, verses 20 to 21 provides the solution. That's our focus for today. And as we look at this, we will see how the prayer is the right response to the teachings of Hebrews and our coming series on the Sermon on the Mount, what people call the Sermon on the Mount, which is Matthew chapter 5 to 7. Some of you will be familiar with that. Let's just remind ourselves of that prayer that we found in verses 20 to 21. Now may the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing his will. And may he work in us what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. The writer has just asked his readers to pray for him and his companions in verse 18. Now he does for the readers the same. He sets an example by praying this prayer. And after the prayer, he again calls the readers brothers and sisters. He keeps repeating this, brothers and sisters. I urge you to bear with my word of exhortation. For in fact, I have written to you quite briefly. The writer recognizes that this brief instruction, it's hard to take. But he encourages us to bear with it. But how does he encourage us to bear with it? Well, in light of the prayer he has just prayed. The prayer is the solution to the problem of being overwhelmed by these instructions. But before we look at how this prayer provides the solution, we should consider two common pitfalls when we read the instructions of the New Testament. The words of Hebrews 12 and 13 and the words of Jesus, as in the Sermon on the Mount, there are two common responses to this teaching. The first is legalism, and the second is libertinism. And I'll explain what those look like. Legalism is all about trying harder. We pursue with more time, more energy, more money, more strength. But legalism always ends up with us feeling and being guilty. We end up under a mounting pile of guilt, because we cannot live up to what is being asked of us. We may strive with all our resources and all our energy, but sooner or later, we end up guilty, frustrated, tired, bitter, and angry. And this often spirals further. Out of our own guilt, we begin to pile on guilt and expectation upon others. As Jesus said on the Sermon on the Mount, "Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, 'Let me take the speck out of your eye,' when all the time there is a plank in your own eye?" Out of our guilt and frustration, we project onto others. We pile religious judgment upon them. Some of you will have experienced this. Some of you will have experienced both sides of this. And I'm telling you now, it's totally painful. It tears families apart, church families apart. It is what the religious leaders of Jesus' day excelled at doing. Jesus replied, "And you experts in the law, woe to you, because you load people down with burdens they can hardly carry. And you yourselves will not lift up one finger to help them." Many religious leaders still do this. It's controlling. It's manipulative. It's ultimately worldly. And it's certainly not Christian. So what's the second common response? Well, it's just as flawed. The response of libertinism. It is this: having heard and seen these difficult commands, we end up diluting them, watering them down. We begin to chip away at the harder areas to make them more palatable, to make them more manageable and more possible to achieve, and even to make them accommodate our own will. We accept the same lie that was given to us, to the woman at the start in Eden. Ian reminded us of this last week. Did God really say that? We question whether what the writer of Hebrews has said is really right. Questioning isn't a problem. We should question. The problem is if we're trying to negotiate out of what is being asked of us. And then we end up spiritually stagnant. We've convinced ourselves that we are okay, pretending that we are living as we should. It all becomes this show, this performance, just like what Jesus warned against in the Sermon on the Mount. In our negotiation and watering down, we rob the words of their power. They become manageable. They become cold. If we look at recent history of church, the church in this country maybe specifically, I would suggest that we've reacted to the historical legalism in our churches and have now embraced libertinism in response, generally. And most churches swing from one end to the other. But both of these responses are a mistake. There is a third way, a third response. To avoid these two common mistakes, the writer prays the prayer of verse 20 to 21. The prayer changes the mood entirely. It is the right response to all these instructions. It is the response that Jesus instructed. He said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Come to me. Oh, this is the call the Lord is calling out to us, his children. Come to me. Why do we try to do things in our own strength? It is the God of peace, the God who so loved the world that wants it to reconcile to him. He wants peace on earth. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, that's Jesus, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. He is the one who authored it all. It is his power at work making peace. All is possible because of him. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace. His power is making peace. The same power that rose Jesus from the dead, the same power through Jesus' blood that cleansed us of our sins, robbed the enemy of his power and is making a new creation, a resurrected earth. It is Jesus who goes before us. He is our shepherd, as we see in that prayer. He leads the way. He is the one who equips us, as we just prayed. Gives us all we need, empowers us, enables us, and sustains us so that we can do his will, so that we can please God. In Jesus, not in ourselves. It is from him, by him, through him, because of him, in him, for him. All of this is for Christ. And so the right response is to see the instructions of Hebrews 12, 13 and the Sermon on the Mount, which we're going to be looking at over the next few months. And recognize that as Jesus said right at the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount, he said, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. We should recognize that we are totally incapable. We don't have the resources. We do not have the will or the strength on our own. We must have Jesus. We must be filled with the Holy Spirit. We are blessed, Jesus promises, when we rely on him. We experience God's kingdom at work when we allow Jesus to work. As Paul says in Galatians, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. You know, I think if we reflected on that verse alone, we could be changed as a worldwide church. Christ lives in me. As we close this series in Hebrews and start this new one in Matthew 5-7, as we look at all the detailed, demanding instructions, we must not fall for the lies of legalism or libertinism. Those are two flawed, fake, counterfeit responses. Instead, we fall before our Lord Jesus, our King, our Shepherd, and we pray, equip us with everything good for doing your will. Work in us what is pleasing to you. Yours is the glory. You know, this is why it's so important we pray. Most of our work is done in prayer. If we believe that it is Jesus who's working in and through us, we really, really need to pray. I would encourage you to join us on Sunday mornings for the next couple of weeks, I believe. Before the service, do come and pray. John the Baptist said this, Jesus must become greater. I must become less. Both counterfeit responses have this in common. They are centered around us. Legalism is all about our own abilities, our own cleverness, our own achievement and strength, even our own holiness. Libertinism is all about making things possible for us. What God looks for is a people in which his Spirit can work in and through them. We must ask ourselves, how do we intend to obey Jesus? And I suggest the place to start, or restart, or even to continue, is in prayer. Will you pray about that this week? Will you seek Jesus and ask him, how can we become less so that he becomes more? You know, as we think about our life together as church, and let's not forget everything in the New Testament, including the Sermon on the Mount, is written to a community of believers. It's not written to individuals. You and I are not meant to try and do this on our own. We do it by the power of the indwelling Spirit, the Lord Jesus living in us, but also in community, as a body of people. Maybe we should pray this prayer. Maybe we should seek and ask, Lord, how can Ottery St. Mary URC become less, so that you may become more? I want to close by announcing the prayer over you as a blessing. Now may the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing his will. And may he work in us what is pleasing to him, through Jesus Christ, to whom all glory forever and ever be his. Amen.